Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. But before we get started, it's important to recognize our sponsor, OnPay. Without them, we could not be sharing these stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Richard Sims with Tyrannosaurus Tech. Welcome, Richard.
Hey, Lee. Thank you for having me.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell us what you're up to. How are you serving folks?
Well, so Tyrannosaurus Tech, we're in the technology space, as you might have guessed. And basically what we do, we act as a technology partner for organizations that are launching new digital products, primarily into the healthcare, public health, or education industries. So we are a team comprised of developers, designers, strategists, project managers that help bring new products to market. These are typically SaaS products, software as a service products. So we're doing a lot of mobile and web application development and design as a part of that.
So how'd you get into that line of work?
Yeah, so I have a partner in the business. His name's Carlos, and we have been doing this with Tyrannosaurus Tech for, I guess, about 4.5 years at this point. So relatively young business, but we've been at it for a while. Both of us came from the technology space here in Atlanta, working, you know, for various tech companies and startups. And for me specifically, my previous business, we were doing a lot of training in some of these skills that we more so practice today. So we did a lot of teaching individuals, you know, web design, app development, things like that. And we did a fair amount of professional development as well within organizations around Atlanta and the Southeast. So I'd spent a lot of time just kind of understanding the market here, obviously understanding that tech, you know, of course, was such a huge trend and that those skills were in very high demand. And so it's been fun to get back into, you know, really building out products, not just training those skills like I was doing in the past.
So you don't do any more of the training? You're just building for others?
Yeah, I don't. So my old company, Tech Talent South, is still around and doing great. I had a partner in that business as well. Her name's Betsy, and she is still running the company. And I moved on, gosh, I guess in 2016. So I'm not directly involved there anymore, but learned a lot. And in a way, now I'm kind of on the other side of the aisle, if you will, in terms of the services that we offer.
Did you find that when you were teaching folks, especially at companies, that a lot of the times they just wanted the product, they didn't really want to do the work to build it, that they just wanted to have it done for them?
I certainly think that's true. I mean, there's, you know, that's a whole kind of deep conversation, you know, the buy versus build mentality, right? But there's a lot of instances, you know, especially with our clients where it doesn't really make sense for them for a number of reasons to hire developers, hire designers, you know, staff up long-term for these different skill sets. For one, folks with those skills are very hard to find. Frankly, they're in high demand. So a lot of times organizations just don't have the resources or the budget or the time to staff up. And then, you know, it's like a lot of things. If that's not really the core of your business, you don't know how to run a technology team or build out a product, it can often make sense to partner with experts like us that essentially come in as a partner and you know, help you on that side of the house.
Now, does it start out where maybe they say, okay, we want to build this app or this piece of software we would like that's kind of would help us do our job better or help our business add another layer of service? And then at some point, do you evolve into like their chief technology officer where you're just handling everything that has to do with their website and all their, you know, digital kind of life?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one reason we're so emphatic about referring to us as a technology partner is, of course, we have great folks here that can execute if someone knows, you know, exactly what they want to do and they just need someone with the know-how to build it out. But we come in and try to deliver a lot more broad value in terms of when folks come to us, a lot of times they have kind of the beginnings of an understanding of what they want to do, or they've identified a particular problem they want to solve in their industry, something they believe can be productized. But we're often helping them to, you know, do user research, even do relevant industry research, sometimes doing more what we call customer discovery to make sure we really understand the pain point they're trying to address. And all of this goes towards, you know, really making sure that the product that ultimately comes to market is well received, it's adopted, folks are willing to pay for it. So oftentimes we're helping to determine what's really the initial minimum viable product, what's the more trimmed scope that you can launch with, how's this product going to scale over time, what are various pricing strategies and sales models for SaaS products. So we take a lot of pride in being a long-term partner. So some of our best clients, you know, we've been working with for years, where initially we helped them launch this product. Fortunately, it was successful. We helped maintain it, scale it, add new features as things evolve. So we like to really have those kind of long-term strategic relationships.
Because ultimately you're kind of, you know that product better than they do, right? Because you built it?
In a sense, I think a lot of times in that dynamic, they of course know their industry and in a sense know their users and that space better than we ever can. But we, of course, know the technology side. So in some ways you could say, yes, I think we often know the technical infrastructure better and we learn a tremendous amount about their industry. But they're really the expert on the subject matter, of course, right? And so those two skills kind of align nicely to put something out there.
And that separates you from just a vendor that they hire, you know, a for hire person to build an app. Like you're really kind of intimately involved and are a trusted advisor in the growth of their firm.
Exactly. And, you know, there's a lot of companies out there roughly like ours, and a lot of them are really great. You know, in our industry, a lot of people just kind of use the term dev shop, as in dev for, you know, developers. And that's not all bad, but we don't want to be purely execution focused where, you know, you come to us, you tell us exactly what you want us to do. We just hit the keys and here it is with no real invested, sense of being invested in the success or relying on our broader expertise. So that's typically what we're looking for, folks that have that same mentality in terms of what they're looking for from us and where we're able to, again, be involved at idea phase through some of the early user experience design, things like that, up through actually implementing and scaling the product.
Now, could you share a story? Don't name any names, but just how a story, maybe how initially they came to you with an idea, but after talking to you and you understanding a little bit more the outcome they desired, you were able to maybe help them broaden or rethink or kind of tweak the idea so that it changed like fairly dramatically than from what they initially asked for, but what they ultimately got.
Sure. So without being too specific, I think this happens fairly often for us when folks come to us with early stage ideas, because, you know, we love startups, right? We kind of come from that world. We have a lot of respect for anyone that has a vision and wants to launch something new. But I think that a lot of times the best counsel we can give is encouraging people to not just jump in with both feet and start throwing money at building something out, but to double down on that customer discovery process where you're really in a very regimented way going out there, talking to people, trying to get very unbiased feedback, trying to put your assumptions to the test. So I think we've had many times where folks have come to us and we really encourage them to, before working with us, go back, go through that more thoroughly. We have resources we can recommend, like here in Atlanta, ATDC, for example, which I think has some association with Business Radio, if I'm not mistaken, reading that on the website. But they do a lot of guiding folks through that customer discovery process. I can think of another one recently where a woman that went through kind of some of our discovery process And she had, for example, several different types of users for the application she wanted to build out. And we're trying to help her figure out how to get something out there that delivers value, but she's not over investing in, right? Kind of more of that minimum viable product. So we actually were able to trim a couple of those user types where it was like, hey, these folks actually don't need to have this app. They just need to get a text message that has this Google survey, and then that data can be pushed into the app, and like, boom, we just cut down the scope a good bit so that this is a much more affordable undertaking to get something to market. So a lot of times we are able to kind of steer people in a healthy way in those early conversations, you know?
Right, because the person that's hiring you is not as techie, obviously, as you are. Maybe they know their industry better than you do, but they don't know what they don't know. And something that might seem important, and you go, well, we could do that, but it's going to cost you a fortune to build that part. But if you focus on this part here, which is 80% of what you want anyway, you'll be able to kind of manage that project, and that's affordable. Like, because a person that's a lay person doesn't understand what's hard, what's easy, you know. Yeah. Like you can in a glance tell them, hey, that's complicated, or hey, that's simple. Like, I don't know that, you know, that because you deal with it every day.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we really do pride ourselves on being what we say is like good stewards of technology, just in the sense that, you know, we don't want to sign a big contract where we're, you know, building something out that we don't think they have a good chance of success. We don't want to build something folks aren't going to use. We take a lot of pride in what we do. And so I think a lot of that, those early conversations, we're trying to make sure that, you know, people are just being as wise as possible about their steps forward. For anyone that is listening to this, we do a lot of, you know, what could only be called like free consultation. So if people come to us, we can kind of have a spitball conversation, just like you said, Lee, where it's like, well, that actually is pretty easy what you're describing there. This is actually very complex. You know, maybe here's a lower friction way to approach this. And it's fun for us. And that's a lot of the way that we've ultimately built our brand over the years, is just kind of being a resource, especially here locally in Atlanta for that type of thing.
Now, you mentioned that startups and healthcare is niches that you play in. Do you have a sweet spot that you said, okay, this is kind of the bulk of our businesses in this industry?
Yeah, for sure. So these days we're pretty focused on healthcare, public health, and education. And as I mentioned, SaaS products, so web-based software as a service products, these are typically tools that ultimately folks are subscribing to. And so like a very common scenario for us would be, again, an organization in one of those spaces, let's say that's identified, you know, what they consider to be either an opportunity or a problem that they can address. Sometimes it's something they have built out internally. So like an example, a very simple example that I can hopefully describe succinctly is like one of our large clients historically was a large psychology practice that essentially did a bunch of pre-employment kind of screening, was a big, big part of the business. And when they came to us, they actually had a very simple web application built out by another developer that was helping them manage their practice in some pretty significant ways. And they wanted to productize that to ultimately sell it into other similar practices around the country. And so that's the type of thing where, you know, we came in, we built out an entirely new application that could accommodate for that kind of scale and, you know, multi-tenancy and all these things you need for an actual product like that. And then ultimately, you know, they were able to deploy that in that way. Right. So, a lot of times it's folks that are just on the cusp of like really understanding an opportunity they have and getting serious about, kind of taking that to the next level.
And then does that kind of evolve into, is there a way to do like a kind of a miniature version of that, or do you have to kind of go all in at go?
Yeah, you definitely do not have to go all in. And usually we're not encouraging that. So sometimes, first step, as I mentioned, might be just doing a lot more research and trying to validate if there's an opportunity there. Sometimes it's something like a clickable prototype, which we'll build out often, which is kind of going through like a limited design effort where we'll build something out essentially that you could have it on your mobile phone or on your, you know, computer and show that to folks and click through what really looks like a very high quality functional product. And the reality is just there's no like back end business logic or database there. It's kind of just mimicking the experience of using the app. So a lot of folks will use that as a good step to like get this in front of people, or if they're trying to raise capital to pursue developing, you know, the full product. That's a good step. And then the last one would be just more of a limited application, a minimum viable product. And typically, yeah, we're trying to encourage folks to start with a pretty limited feature set, because so much of what ultimately you're going to learn as far as learning about your users, what they really want, what they're most excited about, you know, that comes when folks actually have the product in their hand. So we encourage a lot of the, you know, additional development and investment to come once you've launched something more stripped down as a first step.
Now, who is the buyer for you guys? Is it the kind of the owner, the CEO, or is this something that somebody in technology has been charged with this project and then they realize they're in over their head and they got to call in kind of the experts?
Yeah, usually we're lucky in that we typically get to deal with, you know, more of the C-level folks, oftentimes the founder or the owner. Most of our clients are small or mid-sized businesses with a few exceptions. So we get to kind of deal with those folks that have the vision, which is nice. Yeah.
And then once you start working with them, I would imagine it's a lot of asking them questions. It's kind of making sure it's the right fit. And then from the time you meet them and they say, okay, let's begin, how long does it take to get something tangible typically? Is this something that takes a month, a quarter, you know, a year?
Yeah, great question. I usually tell folks that are thinking about building out any kind of custom software, again, whether that's, you know, web application, a mobile app, whatever it might be, probably like 3 to 4 months is a safe timeline to have in mind, at least with us, if you're building something out from scratch. And then to your point, Lee, a lot of the initial effort is more discovery work, right? So we start engagements typically with a discovery workshop where we get several people from our team in the room, obviously an engineer, like a senior level user experience designer. And we really unpack, you know, the whole concept. We try to define the project scope, try to understand, you know, again, the client's industry a bit, the users, and then we go through following that pretty extensive design process where we want to have the entire product designed screen by screen and everyone's in complete agreement on that before we even start writing any code, because the basic gist is it's a lot easier and cheaper to iterate on design than code. So it surprises folks that, you know, a lot of that effort is really in planning, nailing this down, you know, getting all the designs sorted out and approved. And then once we have that kind of clear direction, you know, we can go into execution mode and get something built out fairly quickly.
Now, you mentioned ATDC, and yeah, Business Radio X works with ATDC. We work with a lot of the kind of the startup ecosystem and the tech ecosystem, WIT and Georgia State University's Innovation Institute. And we really kind of have a heart for that kind of world. How has that world helped you? Is that community kind of a resource for you? Is that something that you're kind of bullish on? What's your take on the Atlanta startup scene and community?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been a huge, huge part of our lives and I think our success. And, you know, prior to starting Tyrannosaurus Tech, both Carlos and I have been just very invested in the Atlanta tech scene. And I grew up here, but I moved back here from Chicago in 2013. And I think that was like ATDC, of course, had been around. Atlanta Tech Village was just opening. But how much things have changed from then to now is amazing. The tech and startup scene here is you know, really got a lot of great things going on, a lot of great resources, a lot of great folks willing to support you or mentor you or offer guidance. And it's been hugely impactful for us in terms of building our network. And, you know, we try to give back to the community as well. We host a number of meetups and we do apprenticeships for junior level developers, for example. But yeah, it's been a huge part of kind of our DNA in terms of getting our brand out there, growing ourselves, meeting people. So I'm very grateful for everything that the Atlanta tech scene has become, you know?
Well, if there's somebody out there that's in public health or education or any of the other kind of industries that you work in and are interested in your services and have more substantive conversation with you or somebody on your team, what's the website and best way to get a hold of you guys?
Yes, our website is just tyrannosaurustech.com. It's tough to spell, but you won't forget it. So you can also Google it, of course. And you can also just email me, richard@tyrannosaurustech.com. And yeah, the biggest thing I would say, as I had mentioned before, Lee, is we're always happy to just have some conversations, you know, really shoot straight on what we think is level of effort or feasibility of a particular concept. And especially the stuff in public health recently, you know, in the whole COVID situation has been really gratifying for our team. We're getting to work on some stuff specifically related to COVID, as far as helping folks who are struggling with food insecurity right now. We have another client that we've done a number of products in the food safety space, and more recently, kind of helped them build out some tools for restaurants, screening for COVID and things like that amongst their employees, kind of updated training on that front. The public health stuff especially is really exciting. And there's a lot of neat, innovative things happening in that space too.
So if somebody's out there with an idea, it might be worth having a conversation just to chat about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're always just happy to hear about it and brainstorm. And that's a lot of the fun of what we get to do day to day.
Good stuff. Well, Richard, thank you so much for sharing your story today. You're doing important work and we appreciate you.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We'll see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, this work would not be possible without the support of our sponsor OnPay. Please support them so we can continue to share these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.